All right, we are in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 still. We're going to be in verse 8 probably. Oh, we might get out of it today. All right, so verse 8, and this happens to be, and just for refreshing of the memory, it has to do with Daniel proposing in his heart that he would not defile himself, with the king's meat or the king's wine. Or it's just the main topic is not to defile. That's where Sister White's leading here. And this one's from Great Controversy, page 509. And it says, when in the way of duty, can you hear me okay? I can't get this mic any closer. You can hear me good? Okay. All right. She says, when in the way of duty, we are brought into trial, as was Daniel in the king's court, we may be sure that God will protect us. But if we place ourselves under temptation, we shall fall sooner or later. We shall fall sooner or later. And I was just talking to a brother in the faith on the phone, as a matter of fact, that's why I'm late, in regards to some major trials, emergency trials, that's why he called. But at the same time, there's a praise involved. It's neat to see how the Lord blesses his people that stay on the path. We're getting very, very close, especially if you saw that article I put on the website today, the first article in regards to that one Roman Catholic MSNBC reporter declaring that global warming is the biggest threat facing mankind at this time. Okay, let's forget about ISIS killing over 200,000 Christians a year. Just concentrate on the fact that the snowflakes are melting a little quicker than they should, when, in fact, that's all just a bold-faced lie. And it's already been proven that it's a lie, but they have to continue running with it because they've invested too much into it. We know what Sister White says in regards to all this and how they're going to use these calamities that are coming as a way to enforce the mark, because it's the wisest idea that they can come up with. Well, they think anyway, it's just the devil working through them. But you can see the genius of that fallen angel in regards to this, because it's a global method because everybody, it doesn't matter what country you're in, what side of the planet you're on. It don't matter. When they say global warming, they're talking global. And so they could pass laws globally to get everybody to agree that, hey, we got to do something about this. And they already tested the waters with the tsunami thing, the Christmas tsunami where that Presbyterian guy got out there and says, oh, the reason that thing came is because we're not going to church on Sunday. They already tested the waters there. So no one balked on that. Not a single ninth hour preacher or SDA leader stepped up and said anything about that. It's on the radio. Well, we did, of course. It's on the radio. It's all over the place. But it's in a couple of videos, too, that I've done over the years. But with all that being said, these trials are going to get a lot more intense. The latter rain is falling. We already know it. It's drizzling. It's going to come down in a downpour sooner than we think, I think. And the enemy of souls is very aware of this. And so he's doing everything he can to try and break this church up or slow the work down like Sanballat throwing the stones on Nehemiah. And you'll see this especially with the people that have left our number. They'll do everything they can to declare, that we're lying about this, we're lying about that. And when you ask them to prove it, of course you're going to get crickets because that's how it's always been. But it's really getting intense now because the Lord's going to use us, and the devil doesn't want us to be there. It's like I said a few weeks ago, I believe that this church, not just us, by the way, because there's an awful lot of us out there now. Not everybody comes to the online church, and definitely hardly anyone comes to the weekly studies and stuff like that for some odd reason. Well, it could be work or anything else, too, of course. But the fact of the matter is, we are a core of Christians that the Lord is going to use to help educate some of the younger in the faith too. It's going to explode in growth. We know this, but it's going to be mostly stealthily done, like under the table, kind of like under the radar kind of a thing. And I praise God for that too, because I know it'll work. I know he can do that because Google censors this site, but we still have tens of millions of people that link in. So even if they censor us, the Lord's made it in such a way that when people put something in Google searching for something, they'll go to some other website that talks about something we have on our sites, and then the circle brings them right back here. And so censor us all you want, guys. It's not going to work. You'd have to censor millions of people that have linked into us. And so expect the trials to get intense, very intense. But at the same time, and this is why I'm bringing this up, at the same time, when you stay on the path knowing what your Father's will is, and the only way you're going to know what your Father's will is, of course, is to stay in His Word. And so when you stay in His Word and these big trials come and you get this thought in your mind, well, maybe I should go in that direction. Maybe I should go. No, no, no. Just sit back. Wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. He's going to open the door. He'll make it obvious. And it's always going to fall in line with His will. It's not going to be, oh, you know, maybe I should work this Sabbath just so that I can get to that point. No, He would never ask you to do something that's a sin so as to further your work for Him. That's just not going to happen. That's a test. You may not see anywhere past that point. That's part of the test too. He wants you to just plain trust Him. You can't see tomorrow the way He can. All He knows is if you just trust Him and don't do what you're wanting to do in one certain area, let's say, and then when you trust Him, He comes way out of left field and it's like, bam, you never expected that. And there's this major blessing. That's what we were talking about on the phone, too, because it was just like he stayed on track and really wanted to go in this one direction because it's all he could see, but he thought it just doesn't feel right. It's just not there. And there's some things in you that just don't jive with His Word properly. And bam, turned out he was right. And everything's working the way it should now. So anyway, what's the difference between that and what Daniel went through in his day? And even more so with Daniel because, well, I could see it, you know, us getting a little bit like neck and neck with Daniel at this point, and not because we're princes and, you know, and presidents and politicians or nothing like that, because he was forced in that position, of course. What I mean is he didn't have the, okay, let's just say the common man in that day didn't have what the common man has today. You can be poor as a church mouse in today's world, and the enemy of souls is going to make it, you know, make pretty sure that you're going to get your hands on stuff that you need. I mean, look at like for example, Obama phone. They started handing out free phones to the people just to guarantee that vote for a second election. Any way they can, you know, and an Obama phone, it's free. These people could not afford it. Praise God they got a phone. It's very helpful, especially in times of need. But the other toss of the coin is now they have more temptation right there in their hands. They can get online and, you know, be affected. And yeah, and Obama checks too. All sorts of stuff. I know. I mean, look at the welfare thing. And that, I mean, it's just, you can see it so clearly, especially now with 60 million, well, you know, last year it was 60 million. It's probably 65 million now. Families in the United States of America rely when, you know, on welfare. And when he pulls that or threatens to pull it, you know, and one of the easiest ways, of course, is the buy and sell ticket. You know, when you, when it gets down to that point where, because a lot of people say, well, how are you going to get the poor involved? How are you ever going to be able to get the poor to go along with the mark of the beast? They can't buy and sell anything anyway. It doesn't matter to them. Well, now they can. So, I mean, they cover every avenue. And these guys aren't smart enough to do this. You see some of the laws these guys pass, some of the statements these guys make, some of the mistakes they make, some of the scandals they're involved in. Some of these guys are, you know, for, well, I don't want to say insulting terms, but not the sharpest knife in the drawer, let's just say, some of these guys. They can't come up with this stuff, but the demon they bow to does. So, this next one here, same verse, verse 8. And this is from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 321 and 2. And she says, Daniel and Joseph were youth of firm principle, whom God could use to carry out His purposes. I could just stop there. But she goes on, mark their history and see how God wrought for them. You stay on the path, you know what's right to do, stay there, it doesn't matter. Well, I might end up in jail for 6 months or even a year or 10 years. Well, that's where he wants you. That's because there's somebody in jail that needs to hear what you have to share. I remember that test coming to me many, many years ago. And I praise God that he allowed me not to go there. But she goes on, young men, if you would be strong, if you would have the integrity and wisdom of a Joseph or a Daniel, study the scriptures. Parents, if you would educate your children to serve God and do good in the world, make the Bible your textbook. And for those of us that have, you know, children or siblings, oh man, if you have any opportunity to plant a seed, go for it. Especially now, they are pushing this climate change agenda. We know this is one of the final prophecies. We know we are extremely close. Yeah, it could take 5-10 years. Who knows? It could take 5-10 months. We don't know how fast. We know Sister White said it's going to speed up towards the end, and this is why we see happening the way it's happening. And we don't know how long the buy and sell thing is going to go down. You know they're going to drag it out as long as possible. Look what they did with Cuba. And so, but still, you know, or look at they're doing with Iran. They can make that go on for years just to weed out all the weak ones. But there are some of us that have already been taught by our Heavenly Father how to even make our own food and, you know, be self-sustaining. You know, like everything from solar panels to rototillers. I mean, it's, well, you know, if you've been nearby us, like we've been discussing this new way of planting too, or just do it the way the Lord does it. Like that Back to Eden guy, Sister Lenore was talking about this last week. Where and I remember reading about this guy before, and this is why I chipped my garden a couple times, but I didn't put enough chips in it. You can literally plant plants in your garden the exact same way God plants plants in his, and you won't ever have to water it, even during a drought. Because if you got enough chips on top of the soil, it'll stay moist under there. And if you don't believe me, I remember a couple of years ago we had that drought here. And I went out into the woods like I usually do for the midday prayer. And just out of curiosity, I got on my hands and knees, and I was very careful that time. If you remember, I knelt down on a hedge thorn a few years back, and I was like Quasimodo for a while, 10 days. I couldn't move my right leg. I mean, I couldn't bend it. I could move it, but I just couldn't bend it at the knee because that thing pierced the vascular plane. But, boy, was that painful. But anyway, go out in the woods when it's hot, in a drought, take a shovel and dig, and you only have to go down about an inch or two. It's moist. And so he knows what he's doing there. Oh, yeah, I saw that too, that video where you just take, you buy a bunch of diapers and take out that stuff, you know, that stuff that turns into a gel once water hits it, and you can make a super soil, literally. Yeah. It's amazing. It just holds water. The water won't evaporate because it's inside those little gels, and the roots will go right in there. They know what the Lord knows what he's doing there too. So again, make the Bible your textbook. And then this next one here is from Testimonies. No. This one's Signs of the Times, November 4th, 1889. And she says, when men have the principle that will enable them to stand amid temptation, as did Daniel, the God of heaven will look upon them with approval and will send them needed help and strength at the moment of their trial. So not only stay in the textbook, you know, of the scriptures, understand 1 Corinthians 10:13. He's not going to tempt you above your ability to handle it, so handle it. It's just that simple. When these temptations come, turn your back, shake your head, do whatever you got, close your eyes, walk away, close your mouth, whatever the case may be, don't do it. And he'll know that you're serious about this. And like Joseph and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Mordecai and Esther and everybody else in the Bible that walked the way they should, had the strength at the moment of their trial. I mean, how many of us will be able to kneel down, literally, kneel down to where you're at the level of a lion's mouth and pray in a lion's den? Like Daniel did. Most of us, we climb in the walls, grabbing hold of the bars, trying to pray upwards. Well, just kneel down. So going on, she says, if Daniel had weakly yielded to temptation to indulge appetite, he would have placed himself in a position where he could not have received the wisdom and grace the Lord had for him. he would have brought upon himself physical and mental weakness. And the next one is Signs of the Times again, but it's March 2nd, 1882. 7 years difference. And this one says, it was their duty to honor God and give to the world an example of faithfulness. They considered their position, they considered their position with its difficulties and dangers, and then in the fear of God made their decision. Even at the risk of the king's displeasure, they would be true to the laws which had been divinely given to their fathers. So again, you got siblings and, you know, and kids. And this is why I praise the Lord for his word and the way the seeds are planted and watered. Because I have loved ones. I have siblings too. I got 10 of them. And I know I, you know, was blessed, as was my wife and even some of my kids, to plant seeds all over the place. Some of those are going to sit there in that soil for 10, 20, 30, or even 40 years, because the Lord knows when it's time for the rain to hit that seed. He knows when it's needed. And so just do your job. Get those seeds planted. I mean, and then pray, because the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And so, and you might be the only one praying for that person too. So this next one here is Signs of the Times again, August 16th, 1883. And she says, Luther at Wittenberg hears of the exciting scenes transpiring in the Diet. Soon he receives a note of the articles, which he will be required to retract. But like Daniel of old, he proposes in his heart that he will maintain his fidelity to God. Remember what, like that famous thing that he says, I can do no more. You know, just stand there on the mercy of God. And he was not burned at the stake or killed by the Catholic Church. He stood his ground. And the Lord used him in a mighty way. And a lot of people are Protestant because of it. Truly Protestant. Not like the so-called Protestants of today where they, you know, they call the Pope Holy Father. And they're all doing it. All of them. Includes the Ninth Hour Church. So going on. Signs of the Times, 1887, September 8th. And she says, have we placed ourselves under the banner of Prince Emmanuel? Have we, like Daniel, proposed in our hearts to be obedient to all of God's requirements? It is of the greatest consequence to us that we be found obedient children, walking in the truth. We do not want to be on the side of the great rebel who transgressed God's commandments and was thrust out of heaven and is teaching others to be disloyal to the God of heaven. Of course, he's speaking of Satan, but could you imagine? I mean, super intelligent as an angel is, he's dumb as a bag of rocks when you think about what he did, the first and most beautiful creation ever made, goes and looks, you know, looks at himself and thinks he did all that, I guess. I don't know, because, I mean, I remember when I was young, I was conceited, but still I also knew in the back of my mind that, you know, I'm a created being. I can't claim anything. And yeah, 9 times out of 10, people that are conceited aren't really that good looking. So they just think they are. But still, the same toss of the coin is they think they are, and they think that they're all that. And they think that, and especially when you get into sports and you've done the workouts and you've chiseled the body and got it to where you can actually do something with it that you think no one else has done. I mean, come on, nothing changes under the sun. But people, that's how they think. And they think because they've done it, you got, you know, both sides of the spectrum. You got the doctor of divinity who thinks he's all that when it comes to scripture. And then you got the self-made man who's a billionaire. He thinks he's done it all. When it's clearly written in the scriptures that the Lord sets up the paupers and the princes. You know. All right, this next one, Signs of the Times, November 5th, 1896. She says, the case of Daniel may be studied with profit by all who desire perfection of character. He and his companions were sincere, faithful Christians. To them, the will of God was the supreme law of life. They knew that in order to glorify God, all their faculties must be developed, and they sought to gain knowledge, that they might perfect a Christian character. and stand in the heathen nation, stand in that heathen nation as fitting representatives of the true religion. In order to preserve health, they resolved to avoid the luxuries of the king's table. They refused to partake of any stimulating drink, but practiced strict temperance in all things, that they might not enfeeble brain or muscle. And even good food can do it. Even good food can, you know, enfeeble brain and muscle. And try it sometimes. I don't know how some of you guys do your studies. Let's say you're a student, because I wouldn't suggest trying this with Bible study, because you shouldn't play games there at all. But let's just say you have to study up on something or do some research on something, you know, some topic, or like say you want to learn how to fix this one part in your engine, and so you got to do a little bit of reading on it. Eat a big meal before you do that. Eat a big meal, a normal meal, in other words, don't do any research on it until right after you're done eating your biggest meal of the day, whatever that is, you know. And none of us are gluttons, so we know it's just, you know, a normal meal, but it's, you know, let's just say it's the heavy one. And then do some research. Notice how, yeah, it can be. It's like, you can't focus. You can't really, I know I can't. This is why I read my Bible in the morning before I do anything. You know, I gotta, you know, before I do any kind of food. And I'll exercise. Now that the Lord has blessed us with that elliptical, I'll do some exercise before I read my Bible too. So I got nothing in my gut, and I got my blood flowing in that gray area up in between my ears as much as I can. Get my heart rate up so that when I sit down and read the scriptures, everything will be working the way it should to the best of my ability at this point. And I praise God that he's gotten me away from that meat decades ago, because I can only imagine how, because, you know, I'm pushing some years. And so it's like, I know what it's like to have mental lapses. Like the other day, me and Fran were laughing about it. I couldn't, because I was on the elliptical and says, I'm going to go around one, what is the word? I'm laughing at myself, and she's giving me the weird look, and I couldn't find the word lap. I just, L-A-P, I couldn't find it. It was, you know, it was all of a sudden like the, I don't know, those little firing mechanisms that are in the brain were all misfiring or shooting blanks or something for a good 30 seconds. It was really weird. Synapses, thank you. And so, neuron laps, yeah. It was like, oh. It was like Dane Bramage. Pobody's nerfed. So anyway, this next one here is Youth Instructor, October 25th, 1894. And it says, I got to back up a little bit. Wait, let me just get the book up. Okay. It says, in the court of Babylon, Daniel and his fellows realized that principle was at stake and that they could afford to make no compromise with the tempter. The light and trust reflected from the throne of God were dearer to them than any honor that men could bestow. It is the privilege of the young people of today to be as firm and true, as modest and successful as were the Jewish youths in the kingdom of Babylon. Let them remember that the lessons written in the living oracles are for their consideration. I mean, why else is it written? Seriously. I mean, even Jesus mentions that in John chapter 17 when he's praying for us. He says, I'm not only praying for those who have, you know, right here, that you have given me, Father, you know, he's praying for those of us that will read the words they put in, put on paper, of course, using today's language. I'm paraphrasing. But again, she says, let them remember that the lessons written in the living oracles are for their consideration, and let them imitate the example of Daniel in right doing. God honored Daniel, and he will honor every youth who takes the course that Daniel took in honoring God. Amen and amen. Okay, let's see. This is the last one. Maybe next. Yeah, two left. And then we go to verse 9. All right. Get the book up again. It's on the bottom of the page. Youth Instructor, August 18th, 1898. And she says, Daniel and his three companions did not take the position that their food and drink were of the king's appointment. It was their duty to partake of it. Okay, let me reread that. Daniel and the three companions did not take the, okay, did not take the position. Now, see how the, sometimes one word can just fly out, you know, that synapses thing again, you know, and it'll just fly out, and it changes the whole meaning of the sentence. See, that's one of the reasons the devil likes to take Bible verses out of context. It's that easy. It's just like that old thing, that thing I always like to use. Let's say you happen to walk into a kitchen, and a couple of your friends are in the kitchen, and they're Christians, and you walk into the kitchen, and right when you walk in, one of your friends says to the other friend, "And marijuana is good for you." You know, and the other friend goes, "Yeah." And then you walk around thinking they're dopers. Had you walked in 5 seconds later, you would have heard, "Yeah, some people actually think marijuana is good for you." And then your friend laughs or whatever. You know. So you could be taken out of context very easily. So Daniel and his three companions did not take the position that because their food, drink were of the king's appointment, it was their duty to partake of it. They prayed over the matter and studied the scriptures. Okay, and the last one. Okay, I had to put the clip on the page. All right. This last one here is youth instructor, May 10th, 1900. And she says, "Pray for yourselves. Take firm hold of the arm of divine power, determining, as did Daniel, not to swerve from any duty. Harness your habits. Put on the bit and bridle. Use all your intelligence in God's service." And you guys know what a bit and bridle is, right? And it's how they turn the head of a horse. Okay, now verse 9. We're actually going to another verse. So verse number 9 says, and this is chapter 1. I'm going to stop moving this book around. It's making noises in the microphone. It says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." I've seen this happen a few times in my life, and I'm sure some of you have as well. And where people that you'd least expect, especially persons in authority, would shine favor on you, or bosses, you know. They like you for some reason. It's not because you're likable. Maybe you are, but, you know. The Holy Spirit moves in and moves people to that direction. So, now God had brought Daniel into favor in tender love with the Prince of Princes. And this first one, there is no bolding, but it's a short paragraph, so I'm going to read it anyway. And it's from Youth Instructor, November 12, 1907. See if I can just put this up here. Here we go. And it says, "This officer saw in Daniel good traits of character. He saw that he was striving to be kind and helpful, that his words were respectful and courteous, and his manner possessed the grace of modesty and meekness. It was the good behavior of the youth that gained for him the favor and love of the prince." So, it's like the old saying goes, they're watching you. They're all watching us. And they're looking for, and this is why you'll, and I'm not the only one that gets attacked like this, because I get your emails and phone calls and stuff like that. People are going to accuse you of things that you're simply not doing. It's by their fruits ye shall know them. When people accuse you of things and say that your doctrine is wrong or this, just say, okay, fine. Please show me in the scriptures where I'm wrong. Because I don't want to, you know, grieve the Holy Spirit. So please show me so that I can walk properly. 9 times out of 10, you'll never hear from them again. Because they can't show you. Because it's not there. They're just simply lying to try to sway you to their way of thinking. All right, this next one is from Prophets of Kings, page 546. And again, the verse 9. And this will go on for, I don't know, maybe just the rest of the night. Because we only got like 10 minutes left. But, it's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. So, it's verse 9. So, anyway, again, I'll read the verse. "Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And she says, "Strict compliance with the requirements of heaven brings temporal as well as spiritual blessings. Unwavering in his allegiance to God, unyielding to his mastery of self." And that's where a lot of us have to grow. Mastery of self. Put yourself in subjection, even if it means to fast. And I'm not talking about fasting from food. you can fast from doing things that your flesh wants to do. And that runs the gamut. There's all sorts of different things that the flesh wants to do. You know, everything from, well, we don't, I would think hardly anybody here has any issues with the cigarettes or alcohol, but still, that's part of it, is what I mean. There's all sorts of different ways of fasting. So anyway, mastery of self. Daniel, by his noble dignity and unswerving integrity, while yet a young man, won the favor and tender love of the heathen officer in whose charge he had been placed. The same characteristics marked his afterlife. He rose speedily to the position of prime minister of the kingdom of Babylon. It kind of reminds me of Joseph, too, because the Pharaoh knew when Joseph wouldn't bow to him. I know this guy ain't going to lie to save his life. I can kill him now. And he knows it. He knows Joseph knows it. And so he knew he could trust him. Even though, you know, he knew he could trust him not to lie and whatever. And then that relationship just grew from there, of course. All right, this next one is CT-376. Counsels to teachers, I think it was, and students. I can't remember. But anyway, she said, in the verse 9 again, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And it says, if the students who attend our colleges would be firm and maintain integrity, if they, in our colleges, she's talking about here. She's not talking about the modern day colleges of today. No way. This is why I'm still praying and hoping that one day, somehow, some way, some multimillionaire will come up and say, hey, look, I have decided to join in this holy war that you guys are involved in. I have a building and some land. May move the building over to Utah because the Lord's already looks like we're going to be getting some land in Utah, but still there's no buildings there yet. But let's just say that there's a school building somewhere that's abandoned, and wouldn't that be nice? We can just start a school and really intensely start training people. And I could see that school being day in, day out, just intense Bible study and spirit of prophecy. I couldn't see it being an 8-year course either. Because when you're chewing on meat that, you know, that heavy, you're going to get, you're going to bulk up pretty quick spiritually, if you know what I mean. And I'm meat of scripture, of course. So. Okay. All right. So again, so if the students who attend our colleges would be firm and maintain integrity, if they would not associate with those who walk in the paths of sin, nor be charmed by their society, like Daniel, they would enjoy the favor of God. And we need the favor of God today in a big way. As close as we are to the end, this is the only anchor we have in the storm, and that we've ever had in the storm. But right now, we really got to, you know, we got to know that this is it. It's extremely important at this point. I know as people are falling in and out here right now, we got some issues with some people are having problems with their internet. Can't be us. Otherwise, everybody would fall out. All right. Oh, the sound was going in and out, too? Well, that may be on your end. How about everybody else? Was I going out? Oh. Okay, I wonder if server's getting attacked. Hold on a second here. I don't think it is. Let me just check it real quick here. Let me just check the bandwidth going in and out. Well, it looks pretty stable. But then I'm just running, you know, on my side of the network. I don't know what's going on out there in the internet, so it could be on my end for all I know. But still, I look pretty stable. Everybody's back anyway. So. Okay. It's good now? All right. Yeah, it could have just been a fluky thing. All right. Let me see, where am I at? Favor of God. Okay, so now Testimonies of Ministers, page 263 says, And this is, of course, verse 9 again. Now God had brought Daniel into favor with tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And it says, when Daniel was required to partake of the luxuries of the king's table, he did not fly into a passion, neither did he express a determination to eat and drink as he pleased. You know, he didn't stand up, fold his arms, and say, not me, man. In other words, he's going to start a war like that, just anger people. And, you know, a soft answer turneth away wrath. We all know that, right? So he says, she says, without speaking one word of defiance, he took the matter to God. He and his companions sought wisdom from the Lord, and when they came forth from earnest prayer, their decision was made. With true courage and Christian courtesy, Daniel presented the case to the officer who had them in charge, asking that they might be granted a simple diet. These youth, now, we could picture this, like, to them, it was probably no big deal. They're, you know, I mean, they're praying about it, and it's kind of like what some of you go through, especially in your schools and stuff like that with the young people, and they see this, and to them, it's just another day in their life, and so praise God, you know, that our prayers were answered. He's letting us have the pulse for 10 days and all this other stuff, but it's a major trial that's going to affect billions of people that read the scriptures thereafter. Something as little as this can be used in a major way. So she goes on to say that these youth felt that their religious principles were at stake and they relied upon God, whom they loved and served. The request was granted, for they had obtained favor with God and with men. They prayed first. Something Lot should have done. And then Prophets and Kings, page 483 and 4, says, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs, and the request that he might not defile himself was received with respect. So amen and amen. Sound going in and out again for everybody, or just one person there? Hello, 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 hello. Okay, it sounds good here. My wife just said, okay. Okay. All right, so it's just not everybody, because then it can't be me. It could just be, because even though you're not in the same house, you might be riding on the same trunk line that feeds your internet. And if, because there's, you know, an awful lot of people affected. Like one time, the trunk line that went to Florida, and it sidestepped Chicago area. One day, and this was the old chat room, one day everybody from Florida to the west fell out, but everybody else stayed in. It was like half the room disappeared, and then we found out the next day there was some guy with a backhoe cut a cable line and caused everybody to fall out. Everybody lost internet for 24 hours in that area. So, all right, let's see. We got time for one more here. Prophets and Kings. Oh, no, I already read that one. So this next one is Education, page 55 and 56. Now let's finish it, because there's only three left, or four left. So we'll start with verse 10 next week, because we started a little late anyway. So there, deal with it. No sound? Oh, yeah, is it windy out? All right, yeah, we're below zero here, and it's windy. So it could be our internet again. It could be our dish. Because we saw a bunch of snow. Is it snowing, Fran? It was snowing so heavy, and then the snow was so tiny, it looked like fog. But if you went out there, you say, okay, then it's snow. So why don't we end it here? That way we don't lose anything here. So if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Oh, okay. Yeah, Kentucky's in the negatives too, huh? Oh, I guess we're all in one big happy family now, huh? All right, so bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us get this far in the study tonight. And please bless us so that this doesn't happen again on, you know, Sabbath day. But thank you for blessing us with what you have given us, and letting the seeds be planted where they needed to be planted. And thank you for watering the seeds that needed watering. And thank you for blessing us with opportunities to share our faith and the education that you give out to us with others. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. So we'll pick it up at... Where did I leave off here? Okay, I see it. Education, page 55. So next week, that's where we'll pick it up. And we'll have like three or four statements that she makes in regards to verse 9, and then we'll just go right into verse 10, which... Wow. One statement in verse 10, and then 11, 12, 13, and 14, she makes a few statements, and then we go right into verse 15. So, yeah, so next week it'll be pretty interesting. Let me get another sticky note, because that one's already unstickified. There, I know where I'm at. Okie dokie. Let me shut off the recorder. Sorry about all that okie dokie-ing.